visit us here this morning. May you find great joy and peace worshiping with us here in the house of the Lord. And we thank God for those who have traveled and who have come back. So good to see you. And also those who have not been here for quite some while. Yes, so good to see Stephanie in our midst. So great to see you. Now, we come to the conclusion of the year 2014. And in a few days' time, it will be 2015. Now, we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must all understand that we are running a Christian race. We are in a race, and therefore we should not be muddling along. And at the end of the year, we must necessarily give ourselves a progress report. We should do a self-review and ask ourselves how well we have done for the Lord. We have not finished the race yet. We will finish the race when we have breathed our last breath, or when the Lord Jesus Christ returns and brings us back unto himself. But in the meantime, we must necessarily ask ourselves these questions. How well have I been running the race? Am I running in accordance to my expectation? Or am I running below my expectation? Or am I running beyond my expectation? Now, in this regard, we have lots to learn from great athletes in the sports world. In a competition, if they don't do well, naturally, of course, they will be quite dejected. But, friends, they will not be dejected to the extent that they are discouraged. In fact, many of them, if they are great athletes, they will be more determined than ever to do well in their sports. And so what do they tell themselves? I'll train harder so that I'll do better next time. And when they perform as expected, or if they do better than what they have expected, they will tell themselves, next time I'll do one better. That's what they will tell themselves. Great athletes also always do that. But all these would compete to win what? They compete to win an earthly crown. They compete to win earthly glory. That's all. And the word of God here, written by the great apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, says, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Now during the days of the great apostle Paul, athletes would compete to win an earthly crown, a wreath made up of leaves. And of course, in a matter of days, the leaves would wither away. And but still, they will strive hard, they will compete hard, they will train hard to win that glory, the glory of the very, very corruptible wreath or the corruptible crown. Today, of course, the crown of the trophy that we win, if we ever win the trophy or the crown, the trophy will be more lasting than the wreath of yesteryears. You could put a wreath and put it in a showcase for display. And chances are the trophy will outlast you, all right? When you die, your trophy will still be there. But think of the futility of this trophy. You can't carry this trophy along with you. You can't carry the medal along with you when you leave this earth. Neither can you carry the glory along with you. In fact, even when you are alive, when you grow older, your glory will fade away. Now, let us say that along with the glory, you also gain lots of wealth. But friends, you can't bring the wealth along with you also. You can't bring the crown with you. You can't bring the glory with you. You can't bring the wealth along with you. Yet people would strive to obtain the glory, and people would strive to obtain the wealth. Now, while we recognize the futility of winning such earthly crowns, we must learn one vital lesson from great athletes in the sports world. You know what they do when they compete? They compete to win. They don't compete to lose. I remember telling you this some time ago about this great cricketer of Australia, Shane Warne, that great bowler. He's what is known as a leg spinner. He's very, very good, or he was very, very good. And this was what he said about his playing cricket. He said, it is all about winning. You see, he had a winning mentality. He said, it is all about winning. So he didn't play his cricket to lose, but he played his cricket to win. That should what our attitude be in regards to our Christian race. And let's learn from the Apostle Paul. He ran to win his Christian race. He ran to obtain a crown. And he was very, very highly motivated, partly because the crown that he was winning was one that was incorruptible, or one that is incorruptible. So we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. So let's do likewise. Follow the example of the great Apostle Paul, and let us be very, very encouraged, because in the Christian race, there is not just one single winner and all the rest are losers. In most of the sports that we have today, yes, there will be one winner, or at the most, there will be a runner-up and a third-place holder. But all the rest will be losers. But as far as our Christian race is concerned, there are innumerable winners of the race. And most important of all, you know, the Lord expects us to win. The Lord doesn't expect us to lose in this race. So bear this in mind. He expects us to win the race. He expects us to run to obtain this crown which is incorruptible. So friends, we must run to obtain. Now there are people who go all out to win the Christian race. They do. They are very, very exemplary. They live very exemplary Christian lives, and they are very exemplary in their service. Yes, good to follow. And they are very, very humble. But the problem is that they are humble to the extent that they say this, I'll be very happy when I get to heaven to just be a road sweeper in heaven. That's what they say, because they are so humble, they say that. But friends, you know what Paul said? Paul says this, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. He said, follow me, like me. Run to obtain, run to win. Don't run to lose, but run to win. So friends, it is not a lack of humility if we were to say, I want to run to obtain, I want to run to win. Friends, that should be our attitude. We must run to win. It is right and proper. And let us not just hope to be a road sweeper in heaven someday, if there's such a position as a road sweeper in heaven. But of course, there are those who are very slothful in their Christian service, and therefore they cannot say, I want to run to obtain a crown. Yes, but they will have to say, I will be very, very happy if I can get into heaven and be a road sweeper. Now that kind of running is not pleasing to the Lord. Let us understand this truth. Yes, if we are very slothful in our service, we are very slack in our race, that kind of race running is not pleasing to the Lord. We will surely be very, very downcast when the day comes when we have to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, before the judgment, before his judgment seat. Yes, because on that day, we will so be very, very downcast, because we will not hear him say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That commendation will be for those who run well and not for those who do not run well. And not only is this kind of running not pleasing to the Lord, it is not only not pleasing to him, but it is also risky to run in that manner, because you might think that you are in the race, when in actual fact, you are not in the race. That's why you are so slothful. You are actually not in the race. You didn't start the race. All along, you think that you are in the race. But you are so mistaken. You deceive yourself into thinking that you are in the race, when in actual fact, you are not. You are heading for eternal hell, my dear friends. And if you really are in the race, and you are running in a very slothful manner, and you are in the race, you just barely complete it. And as it were, you would be escaping hellfire by the skin of the teeth. Yes, my dear friends, that should not be the way we run. Why would we want to run in that manner? Rather, friends, let us follow the great example of the great Apostle Paul, so that at the conclusion of our race, we may all be able to say like him, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also who love his appearing. My dear friends, let us be able to say like what the great Apostle Paul said, triumphantly. So let's run to win. But the question is, how? How to run to win? My dear friends, first thing, we must be very disciplined. I'd like us to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and then look at verses 24 and 25. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24, 25. Let me read the two verses for you, 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 25. Paul says, Know ye not that they which run in a race run well, run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that they may that ye may obtain. In other words, Paul says, we must be very, very competitive, just like competitors in the world. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. He has good self-control. In other words, and go on to verse 27, But I keep my body and bring it, but I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection. You know what he's saying here? Paul is saying, I beat my body and make it my slave. That's what he's saying. I beat my body and make it my slave. I discipline my body. I make it absolutely under my control. That is what is meant by what he says here. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. I beat my body and make it my slave. Paul is saying here, if we are striving for the mastery, if we want to race and to race successfully, we must be temperate in all things. We must exert good self-control. And we must be very, very disciplined. In fact, we must make our body our slave. We must have absolute control over our body. Now, you just have to look at very, very well-known athletes in Australia, those people who win medals and cups and so forth. They do not get to where they are if they do not apply great discipline to their lives. Now, take, for example, the champion swimmers. To be champion swimmers, they train very, very hard. They train in the wee hours of the morning. Yes, when they were young and little, mommy would drive them to the swimming pool early in the morning. Even before the sun rises, mommy would drive them to the swimming pool and they would swim the first session. And then in the afternoon, they train another session. And then to build their body up and to give their body strength, they will go to the gym. So you see the kind of training that they go through, the kind of discipline they apply to themselves. It is really great discipline. The training is really very, very tough. And if they slacken, they will not be the winners they hope to be. Likewise, my dear friends, in order for us to win our Christian race and to obtain the incorruptible crown, we must be very, very disciplined. Disciplined spiritually. That is what we must be. Disciplined spiritually. We must be disciplined in our daily devotion. Every day we must read the Word of God. Every day we must come before the Lord and say to Him, Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. I want to hear what you want to say to me, Lord, today. And every day we must be praying. Now let us understand this truth. We cannot run this race except we run it by faith. No other way. You try other way, you fail. We must run this race by faith. And how may we have faith and how may we have increasing faith to run this race? My dear friends, the only way for us to have increasing faith to run this race is to read God's Word. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Every day we must read His Word so that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and to grow in faith and be able to run the race that He wants us to run. And the other thing that we must do to run this race and to run to obtain is to exercise this discipline of watching and praying. not only pray, but we must be watching. If we do not watch, we will surely be a casualty in our race. Yes, we will fail if we do not apply discipline. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ serves us this warning. He says to us in Matthew 26:41, He said, "Watch and pray. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." We need to be sober and we need to watch. You know why? Because Satan, our adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Yes, if don't watch, in next to no time, we'll be swallowed up by him. Now we see a very clear picture of this in the wild, particularly in the annual migration of animals. Yes, I'm quite fond of watching these shows on TV. Yes, you see this annual migration of wild buffaloes. So you see a herd of buffaloes moving very, very almost rapidly from one place to another. Yes, they will be moving and they will be moving and they will be moving. And then a short distance away, you see a pack of lions just waiting to pounce. And so long as the wild buffaloes stay within the herd, the buffaloes are safe. But now and then you see one that is a straggler, one that is not watching, particularly a young calf that is so absorbed in grazing that it is not watching it at all. And that's the opportunity the lions have been waiting for. They pounce, and then in next to no time, the young calf is torn into bits. Friends, that is exactly what Satan does to us if we do not exercise the discipline of praying and watching. Spiritually, we will be destroyed if we don't watch. Now, I have seen this happening not only to people sitting in the pews, but to leaders in the church. Yes, to leaders in the church. I've seen that happening. They do not watch. Yes, they did not watch. They were tempted. They sinned. And the next thing that happened to them was they lost their testimony. They lost their witness. They could not serve anymore because they lost their witness. They lost their testimony. And not only that, some of them today are no longer attending church. They were once upon a time leaders, but they were not praying and they were not watching. And then their witness was destroyed by their adversary, the evil one. Now we must discipline ourselves in what we think. Yes, we must watch and pray, and we must also discipline ourselves in what we think. The mind must be very well guarded. Every action of ours, let's remember, begins with a thought. We have a thought, and then we have an action. And then the action repeated often becomes a habit. And then if the habit stays with us and it is not gotten rid of, eventually it develops into a character. Habitually we do certain things, and that becomes our character. My dear friends, and eventually, what is our character determines our destiny. Yes, so you see, everything begins with a thought. And so how important it is that our thought, our mind be controlled, governed by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We must be very, very disciplined to have our mind guarded by Him. What must we be thinking of? The Word of God tells us what we ought to be thinking of. We must be thinking of things that are true, honest, just, pure, things that are lovely, things that are of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, we must be thinking of such things, such great, wonderful, beautiful things. These are the things that we must be thinking of, and that's the kind of discipline that we must apply to ourselves. Have our minds guarded by the one true living God. Then what about our tongue? Friends, we must discipline our tongue also. And we must pray this prayer like the great psalmist did. He prayed this prayer. He said, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." Psalm 141, verse 3. "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the door of my lips." If the tongue is not disciplined, the tongue can do a lot of damage. Very often we have people who trust us, who come up to us, and they tell us this, "I want to share this with you. This is something that is very, very personal to me. and I trust that you keep it to yourself. Now I share this with you because I desire that you pray with me over this matter and pray for me over this matter. You say, yes, I give you my word. So he takes us into his confidence and he shares his secrets with us. But the next thing that we do is we find another person and we tell that person, you know, so-and-so told me this about himself. It's a very, very secret thing. Now, I'll tell you because I know I can trust you. All right, I tell you, and you pray for him. My dear friends, you have already betrayed his trust. He told you not to tell, and you tell. My dear friends, you have betrayed his trust. And how damaging it is to that person who wanted to keep his secret a secret, but we don't keep his secret a secret, we divulge it to some people, some other people. How we need the Lord to keep watch over our mouths, yes, and to set a door before our mouths, and set a watch before our mouths, and keep the door of our lips. Our mouth can really be very destructive. Because of the remnant of the sinful nature in us, we are very, very capable of spreading things that are harmful, things that are malicious. We need to pray this prayer for our mouth, just as we pray this prayer for our mind. Yes, we must pray that the Lord will enable us to speak about things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report, things that are virtuous, things that are full of praise. Yes, things that are praiseworthy, things that will bring praise and honor to the one true living God. Now, these are the things that we ought to be speaking about and thinking about. By the grace of God, let us discipline our minds to think about on these very, very wonderful, beautiful things and talk about things that are wonderful and beautiful. And what is the most beautiful thing that we can talk about? What do you think, friends? I say the most beautiful thing that we can talk about is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's discipline our minds, discipline our mouths, so that we will always and always aim to do this. Talk about this beautiful thing. Even the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us be very, very disciplined in all that we do. Let us be temperate in all things. In other words, exercise self-control in all things. When we eat, let us eat in moderation. Very hard to do, I know that. Yes, but let us eat in moderation. And let us make sure that we do enough exercise for our body, because our body is really the temple of God. God has entrusted this body to us. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We must therefore try to keep it as holy and as pure as possible. Yes, we must do the necessary exercise for our body. And let us make sure that we have enough sleep. Not too much sleep, not too little sleep. Just enough sleep. And too much sleep, my dear friends, is actually laziness. So sleep the right amount. Now, of course, that is relative. For some people, 7 hours of sleep is pretty good. For some, 6 hours is pretty good. All right, you know the amount of sleep you need. Sleep that amount and don't overdo it. And in order that we may win in our race, my dear friends, not only must we be disciplined, we must be going in the right direction. That is what we must be doing. Go in the right direction. Now, I've heard and read of cyclists in a road race who cycle themselves out of the race. You know why? How they cycle themselves out of the race? Because they cycle in the wrong direction. All right, they are misdirected, or they were misdirected, and then they cycle themselves out of the race, out of the competition. Friends, we must go in the right direction. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. I'd like us to turn to these two verses. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. All right, let's read these two verses together. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Together. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. My dear friends, that's the direction that we must be taking. Now, what is meant by the right direction? We must forget those things which are behind. All right, if you keep thinking of the things which are behind, you are facing the wrong direction. We must get in the right direction. Forget those things which are behind. Now, what are we to forget about? My dear friends, first of all, let us forget about the wrongs that we did. Now, let me explain, all right? Please don't misunderstand me when I say this. Let's forget about the wrongs that we did. Or more correctly, let's forget about the guilt of the wrongs that we did. Of course, we can never ever forget the truth that once upon a time before we became believers, we were wretched sinners heading for eternal hell. We were lost in darkness and sin. Paul never forgot that position that he was in before he was converted. He said this, "And I punish them, I punish the Christians, often in every synagogue, and I compel them to blaspheme the name of Jesus Christ. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them, even unto strange cities." But friends, he wasn't going to allow this wrong that he committed to cripple his service. No, friends, he wasn't going to allow the guilt of his past sins to trouble him and to cripple his service. He had to forget that guilt. And what did he focus on? What did he dwell on? He did not dwell on that guilt of sins that he committed in the past, but he dwelt on what? He dwelt on the victory that he had in the Lord Jesus Christ, based on God's mercy and based on God's grace. All right, I'd like you to turn to another passage, and you see what he focused on. Yes, I'd like us to turn to 1 Timothy and chapter 1, verses 12 to 16. All right, very, very quickly turn to this passage. 1 Timothy is quite near the end of the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 12, chapter 1, verses 12 to 16, near the end of the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 to 16. Verse 12, he says this, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord," and Paul was saying this, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." In other words, God was very merciful to him. He put him into his ministry and caused Paul to be faithful to him. Verse 13, "who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious." Injurious because he injured the church, injured the Christians. "But I obtained" what? "Mercy." You see, that was what he focused on. "But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." Verse 14, "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant." He was focusing on the grace of the Lord, the mercy and the grace of the Lord. "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Verse 15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." So he never forgot the fact that he was the chief of sinners, right? He never forgot that. Verse 16, "howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy." You see, he was talking about mercy again. "That in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." God so mercifully chose me to set an example for others. That's what he's saying here. So friends, the direction that we should take is to dwell on what? To dwell on God's mercy and his grace. Forget about the guilt of our past wrongs, but focus on his mercy and his grace. And be very, very thankful for his grace and his mercy. And show forth thankfulness to God for his grace and mercy by sharing his grace and mercy to other people. If we say, "Yes, I'm focusing on grace, God's grace and mercy, and I'm very, very thankful to the Lord for his grace and for his mercy," the right thing for us to do is to share God's grace and God's mercy with other people. Let's do that, my dear friends, in the new year. Now, what else should we forget? Now, we should forget our past failures in our Christian witness and in our Christian service. Now, I don't mean to say that we just sweep all our failures under the carpet and pretend as if we have never failed before. No, my dear friends, that's not what I mean. The point is, we should not dwell on our failures and despair or give up doing the good that we are able to do, but rather we should dwell on our past failures in one regard, and that is we must learn from our past failures, learn from our past mistakes. If we want to think of past failures, let's dwell on how we may be able to learn from our past failures. And that's exactly what we must be doing. Again, people in the sports world are wiser than the children of God. Now, when a good sports team loses, it doesn't dwell on its failure. Of course, it recognizes that it has failed, but it doesn't dwell on its failure. But it learns from its mistakes and say that we will become a better team. Let's learn from our past failures. Now, this young man, John Mark, failed in his first missionary journey. He traveled with the Apostle Paul, and he traveled with Barnabas. But he dropped out, possibly because he could not stand the rigors of the missionary journey. But what did this young man do? Did he dwell on his failure? Now, if he had just dwelt on his failure and thought of nothing but his failure and became very, very dejected permanently, my dear friends, he will be a long forgotten man. Nobody will remember this man called John Mark. Now, but friends, this young man must have learned from his past failure. And so he tried again. And what a great success he became. He became a fellow missionary journey of Barnabas. And he became a great success indeed, because God chose this young man and gave him the privilege to write the gospel according to Mark. So you see, God made a great success out of him, because this man did not dwell on his past failure. Now, when we fail, let us not dwell on the failure. The direction we should take should begin with this question: why did we fail? Why did we fail? And having discovered the reasons, let's act on the reasons so that we will not make the same failures. Now, let us ask ourselves some possible reasons as to why we fail in our Christian race. Why do we fail? Number one, we fail because we did not consult God. We did our own thing. We didn't hear His word speaking to us. His word tells us very, very clearly what is permitted, what is not permitted. Do we know what is permitted and do we know what is not permitted by God? Do we not know? Of course we know. We read His word, we know what is permitted and what is not permitted. Yes, now if what we want to do or what we want to have is not permitted by the one true living God, let us not even begin to pray about it. Not even begin to say, Lord, if it's your will, let me do this, let me have this. Don't even begin to pray about it, because it's forbidden by the one true living God. Such things for us to have or such things for us to do. The word of God, for example, is very, very clear. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Once it appears to be evil, abstain. You don't have to test to see whether it is evil or not. So long as it appears to be evil, abstain. That's what God's word says. Don't even try to pray and say, oh Lord, it appears to be evil, but I'm not sure whether it's evil or not. Lord, please show me clearly. You don't even have to pray that prayer. It appears to be evil, that's it. Abstain. Now, if we went into something, a relationship, a job, or anything that the Lord does not permit, I can tell you that we will end up as spiritual failures. Yes, we must have seen lots of broken relationships, because those relationships are not permitted by the Lord. They are unequal yoke relationships. A believing partner relating with an unbelieving partner in a marriage relationship, or believing partner relating with an unbelieving partner in a business relationship. My dear friends, such relationships can only end up in failure. It is only when His word says yes that we can begin to pray about those things that we want to do or want to possess. And in time, if it's God's will for us to do those things, in time the Lord will show us very, very clearly His will. And if we are really doing His will, we'll be very, very successful in our spiritual race. For sure, yes. Now, what other possible reasons are there for our spiritual failures? We fail because we are overconfident. When we are overconfident, naturally we are lifted up with pride. And invariably, pride goes before destruction, pride goes before a fall. The Word of God says in Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction and haughty spirit before a fall. You see, when we are overconfident, we will not want to prepare ourselves for the Christian race. If we are overconfident, we will not want to make the necessary preparation. An American, famous football coach, one day rebuked one of his overconfident players, because this overconfident player said this: "We will win because we have the will to win." And this coach rebuked him and said this to him: "Don't fool yourself. Your will to win is not worth a dime unless you have the will to prepare to win. You must have the will to prepare to win, then you will be able to win." You say, "I will do well in my exams because I have the will to do well." My dear friends, you don't do well by willing to do well. You do well by willing to prepare yourselves to do well. You have to make the necessary preparation. You must make the necessary, do the necessary sweating. Yes, to do well in the exams. Likewise, we will fail in our spiritual race, which of course includes our failing in witnessing, failing to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, if we don't make the necessary preparation. Every day we must make the preparation. We cannot say, "I prepared yesterday and today I don't prepare." No such a thing. Every day we must make the necessary preparation. We must recognize that every day is a spiritual race. There's a portion for us to accomplish for the day. Recognize that it is a spiritual race that we have to accomplish for the day. Begin with that thought every day. And then do the necessary preparation. And what's the necessary preparation? Of course, we must read God's word. We must hear Him speaking to us. Remember, we said this race can only be run by what? By faith, which means we must read His word, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must hear Him speaking to us every day, and we must be praying. And we must recognize that before we start the day, that we need His strength to run the race. There is no other way for us to run but by His strength. We need His strength and power to be able to love. We need His strength and His power to be able to live a holy Christian life. And then to go in the right direction, what else must we forget? Of course, we must not only forget our past failures, but we must also forget our past success. If Paul wanted to boast about his success, you know, he had plenty of successes to boast about. He could have boasted about the number of souls that he brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. He could have boasted about the number of churches that he established. He could have boasted about the great number of people he edified in the faith. Now, he could have also boasted about the sufferings that he went through. He could have boasted about many, many things. But he said this: "I forget those things which are behind." Those were great accomplishments. Yes, any Christian can tell you that they are great accomplishments. But Paul said this: "I forget them." Yes, those things, I forget those things which are behind. Like him, we must forget our past successes. They could be successes in our studies, successes in our job, successes in our business, successes in our relationships with people, and our service for the Lord. We might have done very well in Sunday school teaching. We could have done very well in leading in Bible study. We could have done very well in exhortation. And we could have done very well in leading fellowship groups. Now, if we dwell on our successes, we might be so comfortable that we would not want to move forward. But let us not be contented with our past successes. Let us move forward and do better than what we did before. Let us quicken our steps. My dear friends, at the end of 2014, as we head into 2015, let us quicken our steps. Yes, let us tell ourselves and tell the Lord, "Lord, I want to do better for you in the year 2015. Paul says in Philippians 3:13 and 14, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I count not myself to have arrived. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The right direction is for us to forget those things which are behind and to reach forth unto the things which are before and press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In our service, my dear friends, we must be reaching forth. We must be setting new goals. If we failed previously, let us see where we have gone wrong, as we said before. It could be because we didn't consult God. It could be because we were overconfident, or it could be because of some sins that we didn't repent from. We must quickly correct the wrongs that we were guilty of and then set new goals for ourselves and say, Lord, I want to move forward. Friends, that is what we must be doing as we come to the end of the year 2014. Let us go in the same direction as the Apostle Paul. Paul used very strong words, very strong action words. He said he would reach forth. He would stretch with anticipation. That's what is meant by reaching forth. Stretching with anticipation. And what is meant by stretch? I think you understand what it means to stretch. Yes, in the office, you could have 10 employees working in the same department. Then because of restructuring or reorganization, 5 employees have to leave the company and only 5 remain. So what does that mean? It means now 5 people have to do 10 people's work. Yes, one person has to do 2 persons' work. And that's stretching. Friends, will we stretch for the Lord? Will we stretch for the Lord in all that we do, whether it be in the office, whether it be in the home, whether it be in the church? My dear friends, are we willing to stretch to please Him? Yeah, it is not a case of pleasing ourselves, but pleasing Him. You students, I'm talking to you now, you students, right? Will you stretch to do better for the Lord? Remember, it's not a question of, I will do better because I have the will to do better. No, you have to prepare. You have to sweat to do better for the Lord. So will you do something, that will you stretch to do better for the Lord in the year 2015? And then office workers, will you stretch to serve your employer better? Yes, remembering that you are serving not just your employer, but you are serving the Lord. Will you stretch to serve your employer better? And you parents, will you stretch to help your children grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't just be contented with what you've been doing for your children. They might become very boring to them over time, but think of creative ways to teach them the ways of the Lord. Yes, teach them so that they may grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stretch. Yes, be willing to stretch for the Lord. Will you encourage them to participate in the various activities that we have in the church that we have organized for their spiritual growth? Then all of us, my dear friends, are we willing to stretch ourselves for the service of the Lord? And I mean it, friends. It's a challenge from God's word. Are we willing to stretch ourselves to give ourselves to serve the Lord better in the church in the year 2015? Will we stretch to win someone for the Lord? Often it requires sacrifice on our part. Sacrifice of time, sacrifice of money, sacrifice of energy to bring someone to the Lord. Will we stretch to come to the church prayer meeting? It's a stretch, I know that. After a hard week of work on Friday evening, it is very, very hard to make ourselves the discipline, to discipline our body to come to the church prayer meeting to pray. But friends, let's stretch for Him. That's what is meant by reaching forth. It means stretching, stretching. I set this goal. I stretch to reach it. That's what it means, friends. Now look at another 2 strong words used by the great Apostle Paul. They are action words. He said, I will press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He was pressing forward towards the goal of getting the prize which the Lord Jesus Christ was calling him to obtain from heaven. So Paul pressed forward. Yes, he stretched. He pressed forward to obtain this heavenly prize. Now, what motivates us to run our Christian race? Now, there are people who see other people run the Christian race. Yes, And they seem to be running very well. These people that they are looking at seem to be running very well. And they say, yeah, this race is good for them. That race must be good for me. So they say, I actually saw a young man doing that years ago. He saw his three good friends, older friends, apparently running the Christian race, and they seem to be joyously doing so. So he wanted to copy them. He said, if the race was good for them, the race must be good for me. But what happened to the three friends that he looked up to? Their testimony fizzled out. And what happened to this young man? He was looking up to them. His testimony also fizzled out. Yes, and today he's no longer attending church. Then I've seen people trying to run the Christian race because they want to fulfill the wishes of their loved ones who passed away. They say, I want to fulfill their wishes, so I want to serve the Lord because my loved one said, I must be serving the Lord. Again, over time, you see their service fizzles out. Their service fizzles out. Yes, because they are just trying to do that service to fulfill the desire of their loved ones. Friends, we must be correctly motivated to run the race. We must run to obtain the prize. Listen carefully. We must run to obtain the prize in answer to Christ calling us from heaven to obtain the prize. That should be our motivation. In answer to his call to obtain the prize that he has prepared for us to obtain or to receive. And then that must be our correct motivation. God's word talks about various kinds of crowns. The crown of righteousness, the crown of glory, the crown of life, the crown of rejoicing. The great apostle Paul, while he was on this earth talking about these crowns, surely he must have been thinking of some of these crowns. Yes, my dear friends, are we thinking of such crowns? It is not being boastful or being proud to think of wanting to obtain these crowns, because the Lord expects us to run to win such crowns. Yes, and it is only when we are correctly motivated that we will be able to run our Christian race triumphantly and successfully. So let's ask, are we running the Christian race to win or just to get by? To win or to get by? The right way, my dear friends, is to run to win, to run to obtain. And how may we obtain? We must be very, very disciplined. We must be disciplined in doing our daily devotion. I cannot overemphasize this. Every day and every day we must do our devotion, read God's word, and we must pray every day. We must hear him speak to us so that our faith will grow, because this race cannot be run by any other way but by faith. And our faith therefore must grow, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then we must discipline ourselves to watch and to pray. If we fail to watch, we'll fall prey to the evil one very, very quickly. And we must discipline our minds and our tongue to think of the things that the Lord wants us to think, and speak of the things that the Lord wants us to speak. And what are they? Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, these are the things that we should be thinking about, and these are the things which we should be speaking about. And in order that we win our race, we need to go in the right direction. We must forget our past failures. We must forget the guilt of the wrongs that we committed in time past. Yes, but we must learn from our past failures, learn from our past mistakes, and then we are to forget our past successes. Yes, so that we will not rest on our laurels, but to reach forth, to stretch, to serve him better. And we must be correctly motivated. We must press toward the mark or the goal of receiving the prize which the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven has called us to obtain. And what is the greatest crown? Now, what is the greatest crown you think you will be able to get? Which one? For me, the greatest crown that I aim to have is to hear the Lord say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That is what I look for when I get to heaven someday. I trust, my dear friends, that is your desire. When you get to heaven, that is the thing that you want to hear from the Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord, for this challenge that you have given to us today, to run, to win this Christian race that you have set for us to run. And we pray, O Lord, that we may run successfully. And how may we do so? Except that we have the discipline to run well, we know that we will not be able to run well. We know that we must run in the right direction, and that is to forget all those things which are behind, our failures, the guilt of our wrongs, and our past successes. Lord, we pray that by your grace that we may be able to forget all those things which are behind. But help us, O Lord God, to be correctly motivated in our Christian race. Lord, we pray that we may run the race in answer to your call to receive that prize that you have prepared for us to win. Lord, we pray that by your grace, we may be very, very disciplined to do so. Lord, we pray that we may not pay you lip service and say, yes, Lord, I want to do it. But Lord, we pray that we may take action to really do it well in the year 2015 for you and for your glory. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.